analyst for the Winnipeg Jets, former NHLer Shane Knighty joins us now. Shane, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I am great, Matt. Now, what is the weather like usually in October in Winnipeg? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's usually good. Well, it's good for if you're talking about Manitoba, even where Edmonton is, Saskatchewan. It should be good weather for this event, and I think that's the right time to for them to have this thing take place, and it should be a great time. Anyways, everyone's looking forward to it from the initial response we've heard after the announcement yesterday.
A huge announcement for the Jets, of course, and the Edmonton Oilers. They they started this outdoor classic back in 2003. It was great. It was a little chilly that day, but it turned out. And the NHL has really ran with this. When you look at the stadium, Shane, any idea how many can it fit?
I think they're looking around 33,000, between 33,000, 34,000, 35,000 people. But what makes it good, or what might be better, is the sight lines on this. This isn't going to be as expansive as some of the other areas where these stadium games have been. It should be a little more, intimate, better sight lines. Everyone should have a good seat. You should be able to actually watch the game from your seats, where some of these is, people just go and say they were there. This one you can go and watch at IGF Field. It should be a real good place for the game to take place. And as we said, the only thing that I'm worried about is everybody's. I think the alumni game's almost taken a lot of the mojo here over the actual Heritage Classic because of the names that were announced. I heard you talk about a few of them as well.
Well, and that happens. People get excited. But I think once the game's on itself, that Connor McDavid kid has a little bit of a draw around the NHL, it seems, right now. Shane, I think it was your first opportunity to watch him live last night. What'd you think?
He's tremendous. I saw him in Edmonton. I've seen him a few times and live before. And his speed is just tremendous. His things to do with the puck. And you know what? He gives himself an opportunity to score every game. That's why, he's at a point of game average. Just above, and you can see why. And that's only going to get better. And this is a guy that he looked possibly next year, but in 2 years will be most likely leading the league in points or amongst the league leaders. Real tremendous talent. But the thing, when you look at it, the ability to do things at high speed, a lot of the young players we see like that, maybe not to the same extent, but Nikolaj Ehlers, just turned 20 here for the Winnipeg Jets. Incredible speed, mobility, his ability to do things with the puck, hands. And then you see Connor McDavid. He just does that a little bit more, but both real dynamic young players. And Connor McDavid's special. And you talked about lottery, the Jets. Well, they're excited, maybe a little more excited to be in the lottery position for you guys. Kind of old hat.
Yeah, well, I can say being in the lottery is exciting for fans on that day, but obviously doesn't equate to great on-ice success guaranteed down the road. The Jets are a team, though, that if they could get another dynamic offensive player, they would really like it because, they're in a better position than the Oilers when they started to win their lotteries because they didn't have defense. That was the mistake the organization made, and the Jets have a really strong defense. I think it's obvious the Jets are going to take a forward in the draft wherever they end up choosing. One player who's starting to emerge and, is Mark Scheifele. He's been in the league now a few years, Shane. Do you think this is a guy who could eventually be like a legit number one center or maybe more a very, very good number two center?
I think he has the opportunity to be a number one, and it's not a bad thing. If worst case scenario is he's a good two-way second line center that can, give you 25 goals. I think there's more potential because of what we're seeing out of him, at 22 years of age, and brought along the right way. A lot of people criticized because he was the first draft pick for Jets 2.0 when they relocated back to Winnipeg. Scheifele's taken, and he came out, had a great camp. Why doesn't he stay? Send him back. And you do that a couple times, and it's brought him along the right way, and you're seeing his growth. Starting to get stronger in the puck. I still think there's areas for improvement. But he got a real good chance here because Brian Little went down with the injury for the remainder of the year. And they said, okay, there you go. There's your opportunity. And guys, lots of guys get opportunity in this league, whether it's to play in the league, whether it's to, jump up in position, jump up the depth chart, and it's about making the most of it. Well, Mark Scheifele's been able to do that. More draws, more ice time, special teams, both areas, key times on the ice. A great example last night, he's on the half wall, trying to tie the game with the extra attacker, puts it off the crossbar. So And just he has been just lighting the lamp at a tremendous pace here with 8 goals in his last 8 games. You know, and that's good for young players. It's confidence, right? You want to see confidence for them to see that puck at the back of the net and really come along. So I think for the Jets fans, we're hoping he is going to turn out to be that elite number one center here for the team.
Shane Niney, analyst for the Winnipeg Jets, joins us from TSN 1290. Andrew Ladd, I wasn't stunned that they didn't resign him because I just don't think a winger at his age is worth $6 million, if indeed that's what he was looking for. I think Dustin Byfuglien, for the strength of your overall team, can play more of a factor. But do the Jets need like a center? Is it a left winger? Is it a right winger, like a top-notch guy? What do you think is the biggest void for them up front?
Oh, I think it's anyone that can play any of those positions. They're looking, they need top six forwards. And that's, the kind of Ehlers can play right or left, I think. Paul Maurice likes having the wingers play, the ability to move them from either right to left side. So I would say center is kind of where they would like to fill in another position, because Brian Little, there was talk about him starting on the right wing this year because his 30-goal year he had in Atlanta, he played as a winger. So they kind of wanted to, revisit that possibility, but never got to that because of injuries and the way things kind of rolled out early in the year. I think you can never have enough good, big, strong, skilled centermen. And I look at the first three picks to me, both those Finnish kids, Puljujärvi and Laine, I think those two are dynamic. And we all know about Austin Matthews. I don't think there's much separation. Maybe Matthews ahead a bit, but from there, it's a real deep draft this year. I think the Winnipeg Jets, and even if you can throw Matthew Tkachuk in there, and obviously with the connection to his dad being a Winnipeg Jet, I'm sure fans would get excited about that. A good power forward that can score. But any of those type of players would look real nice in a Jet uniform. They really need to kind of get that more depth. They need it all through the four lines, but specifically some scoring in that top six area.
Shane, you look at their back end, and they've got three really good right shot defensemen. If they, because you could draft a player, but to expect an 18-year-old, unless maybe their name's Connor McDavid, right? I guess if the Jets win number one, they get Austin Matthews. Maybe it's a different story. But if they're looking to improve right away next season, do you see Cheval Dayoff moving one of his defensemen, like a Myers or a Trouba potentially?
I don't, but anything can happen. And it's interesting because you talked to me, and I'm just going to go back. I'm not changing subject. I don't see them doing that just because Trouba's young, but contract negotiations have to come up. And when we started the season, or coming into the offseason last year into this regular season, the 15-16 year, there's a lot of talk. You got to get Andrew Ladd signed and Dustin Byfuglien while you're not going to be able to afford him. You got to get Jacob Trouba to a long-term contract, and hopefully, Mark Scheifele continues to grow a little bit and you put him to a bridge. Well, it's funny how that you got Byfuglien down to that 5-year deal and worth every penny because he has been fantastic. Andrew Ladd, yeah, you're probably asking a little too much. You can afford to lose him. And now it looks like Mark Scheifele is the guy you want to lock in long-term. And Jacob Trouba, that's going to be the question for him. What are they going to be able to do here? Is he going to bet on himself, take a bridge deal? Because there has been rumors about him asking for absolutely a strong, just outrageous numbers, whether they're true or not. But Ole Mata signed. Trouba's numbers kind of lined up with an Ole Mata who just, signed that $4 million range. That is not what he was asking. So is he going to bet on himself and do a little bit of a bridge deal? And that's going to determine possibly what they hear out of those negotiations, what they'll do. But I would expect you got Byfuglien, Trouba, and Myers. It's a pretty good place to start. You still got Toby Enstrom. I'll take those four guys. Sure, you can always improve, but that's pretty solid. And Truba's been able to move to the left and play well here. It's been a bit of an adjustment, but he's getting better at it as the season's gone on.
Shane Niney joins us from TSN 1290. Trouba's, we hear demands, and I'm kind of shaking my head. I'm like, let's be realistic. There's no chance he's getting $6 million. But Trouba's first year was outstanding, Shane. Second year I thought was pretty decent. Now this year he struggled, and it's not unheard of for young players. He's still a young player to kind of have a tough season. What is the difference in Trouba's play? Where has he been struggling in your eyes this year compared to his first two seasons?
It's hard. There were no expectations that first year. He's 19, come out, play. Whatever happens. And then, a little bit of a rough season. So you want to come in and you know, defense, it takes a little bit longer to learn the position, and he just turned 22. So we're talking about a young man here still that's still learning his way. That first year, I just think sometimes there's no pressure. And, you know, maybe the bar got raised and everybody's comparing him. Is he going to be the next Drew Doughty? Well, maybe that's an unfair comparison because I don't think he's going to be that. But he can still be a real good defenseman. And I think when players tend to have a season like that where they come out, does he think, okay, well, you know, he's able to score 9 goals and I'm going to be this offensive guy, and they try to, you know, bring that offensive element to their game. They're like, well, that's not what, you know, you were good when you skate, move your feet, good first pass, when you play physical with an edge, and then the offense comes after that when you develop those areas and that consistency to your game. So I think that's kind of where they've been working with him. You know, and now this year he's moved to the left side. They've experimented with that because of the 3 right-handed D and trying to get all of those guys those top 4 minutes. And Truba's minutes have kind of, and I give credit to Paul Maurice. He didn't play huge minutes to start. They started to get up, and as they did, the coach said, well, minutes have to be earned in this league. And he did. He played better. He saw more minutes. And when he does, I think Jacob Truba's a guy that can handle those minutes. He's a better player when he's, you know, 22 minutes plus a game. So, you know what, he's still a young player that's continuing to get good. But the first year expectations, because he maybe raised them a little too high, I don't know if he could reach those. But also, I don't think you give up on him. I think there's a real high-end return on this player.
Shane, you've seen a lot of the teams in the Central Division. Is this still Chicago the team to beat in your eyes?
Oh, boy. You know, yeah, they're a good team. I just look, Nashville, we're going to see them on Tuesday. This is a team, and you look, we're talking about defense, you know, the Oilers, Jets, anybody. If you got, you know, Weber, Yossi, Ryan Ellis, Ekholm, just real deep on the back end. And I think ever since they made that Ryan Johansson trade, him and James Neal, and now you got Forsberg, who's 14 goals in his last 14 games. So all of a sudden, this team that's, you know, can defend. Now they've got a little bit 2 lines scoring on them. And to me, if Pekka Rinne can be the all-star Pekka Rinne, then Nashville's going to be real tough. St. Louis, you know, when they get healthy, very good club. I don't know if anyone's running away with it. Chicago, yes, they look like now you look at their lineup, their depth. I wonder if they... Their defense, to me, is really good, but how much can you run Keith and Seabrook? Can they go through another, you know, Stanley Cup run like that, playing those, basically, you're running 4D for full games? I wouldn't be surprised if Keith can do it, but that's very demanding, especially when you look through those teams and you have to go through one of those big ones out of the Pacific, one of those California teams that Anaheim right now looks not too bad, LA, San, you go down the list. It is not an easy route to the final.
Oh, no, definitely not. But once you're in, obviously got a much better chance at it. One last one for you, Shane. You mentioned Brian a little earlier. So, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins in Edmonton, a lot of people like, you know, to have fun trades. We look and say, okay, the Jets need a centerman. The Oilers need a defenseman. Would a Truba Nugent-Hopkins deal work in any ways in your eyes? And there might need to be more pieces depending, but do you think that could be the foundation of a deal?
I'm not sure. It could be. Depends what happens here in the draft and where everybody is. And I think that's why this draft is going to be even maybe a little more exciting, is names like that are going to float around. And you mentioned Nugent Hopkins, true, but I think both these teams have kind of been linked to another guy out east, and Travis Hamonic. And whether, you know, Truba, that's been the talk here, Truba for Hamonic. And I've heard, you know, Edmonton people saying, oh, how do they get Travis Hamonic there? Is it going to be Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? So seems like those players are all kind of, you know, in those same comparables, and it's a matter of what each team's needs going to be when they reevaluate here at the end of the season.
Shane, always good to catch up with you, man. Unfortunately, if you need any advice on how to get through the final month of the season, you can ask anyone in Edmonton. Sadly, they're well-versed in that.
Well, yeah, it's all right. It's not a bad thing for me. You know what? Since I'm playing, I'm able to, you know, unattach myself from the team, just do the job. And actually, I haven't missed the roller coaster of emotions. I did that enough as a player.
Yeah, I guess. It's probably it's much easier for you after the games, for sure. Shane, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks very much. Have a good one.